My guest at this time is Jeff Steyer. He is a senior fellow and the division director of risk analysis at the National Center for Public Policy Research. He's been studying a number of issues related to the Food and Drug Administration, but is here to comment today on Monday's announcement by the FDA that it plans to ban trans fats. It's giving companies essentially 3 years to get it out of their food. The move is being hailed by cardiologists far and wide, but Mr. Steyer is here to explain that it's actually not a very good decision, in his opinion. And Jeff, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you. Actually, trans fats have been phased out of our diets over the past decade, and we've reduced consumption as a result of the market demand more than 80% over the last decade. And the argument that these cardiologists you cite are trying to make is that we have to remove every last vestige, every tiny little bit of trans fat that's left in the diet. And the evidence so far just doesn't support, there is no evidence to support that.
First of all, they would argue that over the past decade or so, one of the things that you've mentioned is that trans fats has been reduced, consumption has been reduced due to market demand. They say it's due to awareness. Labeling on foods has been mandated, and therefore companies have had no choice, now that the public is aware of it because of that labeling, that's the reason it's down. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's called the market working, right? Consumers make informed decisions. So I think that's a good thing. But we need to have a little perspective, and I think what I've been calling for is a little bit, the government scientists ought to be having a little bit of humility, especially on this issue. Let me explain why. The reason we have trans fats in the diet, and they were so widely in use 15 years ago, is because groups like the Center for Science and the Public Interest, the food police group that was behind the ban of trans fats, a generation ago was scaring us about saturated fats, fats from animals. And they forced us to, or they pressured us at least and threatened regulation, to remove saturated fat from the diet whenever possible. And industry responded and introduced and increased the use of trans fats because of this concern over saturated fat. Ironically, the very thing that the Center for Science and the Public Interest caused us to eat more widely is what they're complaining about now, in the very same year that the USDA is set to announce that saturated fats aren't as bad as we once thought they were. So I think this ought to be a lesson in humility for the activist groups who have been telling us, you know, eat eggs, don't eat eggs, eat butter, don't eat butter, eat margarine instead, don't eat margarine instead. And we ought to be a little bit more careful about this advice and the consequences of it. Now, look, I'm not saying that trans fats are a health food, but they serve an important role in cooking, in baking, and in certain limited ingredients in foods today. They haven't just fallen in the last decade. They fall off a cliff. But they're still in certain foods because they're there for a reason. And that reason includes, those reasons include increasing shelf life, improving the ability of the color to stay on the sprinkles. Who's worried about sprinkles, right? But very, very low levels of consumption. It plays an important role in baking cakes, or especially in the icing. You shouldn't eat lots of icing on cake anyway. But these very, very small levels serve an important role. And if you take them out of the diet, if you take them out of the food supply, they're going to have to be replaced with other things, like butter, like palm oil, which activists don't like, because of their claim that it's affecting rainforests in Malaysia. So you can make all sorts of changes to how we eat, but you have to, you know, any person working on public policy has to weigh the risks and the benefits of the move versus the risk of the move. The benefits of reducing trans fats to nearly zero are very, very diminishing. And the risks of taking this ingredient out of our food supply, as little as is left in it, become high. We're going to have more food waste because foods won't be as stable. They'll go rancid quicker with other oils. So I don't think the FDA has done an appropriate job of weighing these benefits and making a clear case for what the benefits are, very small, versus lots of unintended consequences. And that's where they usually get in trouble, by ignoring the unintended consequences.
We're talking with Jeff Steyer of the National Center for Public Policy Research. And Jeff, a couple more questions before we let you go. My guess is your answer to this question will be both, but which disturbs you more, the path that the FDA is taking here, specifically as it relates to trans fats, or that the government is making this decision rather than the consumers?
Well, you know, I think it's good that consumers have made choices and reduced their consumption. So I think that's an example of the market at work. I wish the government would have a bit more humility and recognize that maybe we ought to listen to consumers rather than groups like the Center for Science and the Public Interest, which are the ones that got us to eat trans fats in the first place with their unsupported campaign against saturated fats a generation ago.
And finally, you have said that hold on to your salt shaker. There's more to come from this administration. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, you know, New York City banned trans fats a long time ago under Mayor Michael Bloomberg. And when Mayor Bloomberg left New York City, his director of his health department, Dr. Tom Frieden, went to go work in Atlanta at the Centers for Disease Control in the Obama administration. And many of the scientists that worked for them went to go work in Washington for the Obama administration. And they have been pushing at a kind of a low, below-the-radar level for a range of Bloombergian policies. And the next one that they've kind of indicated is salt. They're going after salt, just like Mayor Bloomberg did. So, you know, I used to talk to your show and others about, you know, here's the crazy stuff that's happening in New York City where I live. And I've warned for years that it's coming to the rest of America. And now we see that to be happening.
Excellent question. And you mentioned before that so far these former Bloomberg administration officials working now for the Obama administration have been flying pretty quietly under the radar, but also these are the same people who were pretty aggressive in New York City. So what do you expect over the last 19 months of this administration? How aggressive do you think they'll be when it comes to issues like this?
Well, at the National Center for Public Policy Research, we've been pushing back. We called out the USDA and the FDA when they jointly put together a Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, which recommended, for instance, when they were updating, putting together their suggestions for how to update the dietary guidelines that have to come out every 5 years, be updated every 5 years. The Obama administration scientific committee called for less consumption of meat and more plant-based diets, not because only they're healthier, but because they alleged that eating meat causes global warming, and therefore we ought to change how we eat because of its impact on global warming, and all sorts of ideologically charged issues that had nothing to do with actual nutrition, which is not what Congress called for. So we've been pushing it back on that, and it'll be interesting to see whether the Obama administration stays with that left-wing point of view or the law is instituted as Congress called for, and that nutrition advice given out by the USDA and FDA are actually based on nutrition rather than things like global warming.
Amazing. Jeff, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Likewise.
Jeff Steyer is a senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research. He's also the director of the Risk Analysis Division. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.